Welcome, everyone, joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy. My call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob, KD2NVB, will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages, and we also offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club's website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange color type. But if you would like a simple URL to find it, you can just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. We also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node KC2RC-R. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month, and all of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob, KD2NVB, will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net or send our email. Our email address is tech@kc2rc.com. Again, if you want to contact me via email, the email address is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob, KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Roy, good evening, everybody. I hope you hear me, Roy. I've got my little extension plug thing for my microphone. And anyway, back to net. Looking forward to a good net.
As do I, and there's no multiple kerchunking, so hopefully we've solved the problem. So I'm glad it worked out for you. Once again, I continue to be AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. Anyone out there has any questions, topics for discussions, or comments, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves. Well, surprise, surprise, it seems that we're off to a slow start once again. I hope you enjoy your vacation. Bob will not be with us next Wednesday when we'll be here the fourth Wednesday of the month. But I arranged for Eugene, KD2MDV, will be subbing in, and I thank Eugene for that. So, Bob, it seems like it's you, me, and that's about it for now. Hopefully someone will pop in soon. So other than testing out the extension cord, did you use it before today, by the way?
Oh, I'm testing out right now. See, I first ordered Cat 8. I did it just right after our last tech net, and I just wasn't thinking, oh, okay, I guess it's better. It's a few bucks more expensive, but then after I ordered it and it came, it's really, these things are kind of heavy, man, and I bet you the 6 is a lighter gauge. Well, I'm using the Cat 6 one now, and I'll probably return the other ones if these work fine, which I'm sure they will. And what I got was a 3-foot one, because that's just easier to use when I'm just sitting here, which is most of the time, but I also got a 16-foot one, so that if I did want to take the radio into the bedroom, then I would just use that one. And just a quick little question, I think it would be fine, and maybe even I'll test it. If I plug the 16-foot one into the 3-foot one, that's a lot easier than having to reach back in the radio and pull one out and put the other one in. That shouldn't be a problem. I remember Dick talking about a couple extra connectors. He was talking about antennas, I think. It shouldn't really make any significant difference. Would you agree that these things are proper? I should just be able to do that. It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I would agree. Any well-built, you know, it ultimately depends on the connector. There are bad connectors in this world, and so they might introduce some really bizarre attenuation loss. But a reasonably well-designed adapter shouldn't put more than a couple of ohms of resistance across a very short length and shouldn't be a problem. What this will more likely indicate one way or the other is not so much twice as many connectors or adapters, but whether that particular gauge of wire that the 16-foot cable is designed with is not going to give too much of a voltage drop to cause problems with the push-to-talk function and or get in the way of the audio. So, yeah, if you want to try plugging in the 16 feet in addition and test it out, feel free.
That's what I plan to do. I'll have to open the bag, so I might not do it right this second, but, well, maybe I will. I mean, you'll be trying to get some other people in line, and meanwhile, I'll be opening the bag and pulling it out. So I'll do that. I was going to mention that before you did, too. I mean, after you. Anyway, yeah, back to you.
Okay, well, we'll give you a little time to get the bag, open it, and push the connector in. I think I heard your radio gave another little blip. I think you probably pulled out one of the wires so that you had it on hand to add the extension. Nevertheless, let me just, since we got a couple of moments of silence anyway, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m., and we're open for business tonight. And if anyone is out there with any questions or comments or topics for discussion tonight, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself. Okay. Again, it's 9:09, and it's me, AC2GS, and my co-host, Bob, KD2NVB, and very likely almost no one else. Someone's listening on the audio stream, which unfortunately is only one way, so that person couldn't be able to transmit using the internet audio stream. But we do have EchoLink available, and no one else is connected to it tonight, so that's an opportunity. Anyone out there who is listening on the audio stream and for one reason or another can't get onto the repeater itself, if you have EchoLink, get on. Anyway, once again, I continue to be AC2GS. This continues to be the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Anyone want to kind of ask a question, make a comment, bring up a topic, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself. Well, Bob, I guess it's just going to be you and me. If you got your wiring connected and you want to give it a test, feel free.
Actually, I just plugged it. It'll take me another couple of seconds to undo the little wires that I just pulled it out, but I got to undo the wires that bind the coil together. And by the way, in that little double crook chunk in the past, I was not doing anything, so I'm hoping this is not still a little flawed when you commented about, well, I guess you just pulled out a wire. I did not. So anyway, let's hope. We'll see through the course of this net, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll see how things work. It's usually when you unkey, it gets two kerchunks. The last one seemed to be a little delayed after the other. And this last time, there was no kerchunk. So who knows what kind of thing is going on with a repeater's controller and such. Knock on wood, thankfully, things have been working out, and hopefully one of these days real soon, Joe, AC2AE, my neighbor, will go up there with Maxim and maybe a few other guys and introduce them to the nuances of the repeater so that we'll have a more consistent review process going on. That would be nice. Anyway, let me ask once again, if anyone out there is listening and has any comments or any topics for discussion or any questions, or if Bob has uncoiled the coil and connected the extension cord and wants to check out to see whether 16 additional feet of RJ45 Ethernet cable will not impose any kind of problem with his ICOM 7100's microphone input. We'll see. Just ID yourself, and we'll go from there.
82NVB. I did not even bother to uncoil the long cable, but I think maybe that, maybe I should uncoil, but let's see how it works. It's just coiled. I just freed up about a foot of it so I could just plug it in. Back to you.
You sound fine, and yeah, you wouldn't necessarily need to uncoil it. They're twisted pairs, so and you don't have to worry about inductances. You're operating at audio frequencies and even slower. So signal's fine. So 16 feet seems to work.
Great. I'll just leave it like this and see if no problems occur. We'll see how it goes. Back to you.
Yeah, I think if there was going to be a problem, it would be rather immediate. It's not something that just gradually. The thing that you have to be slightly concerned with is, there is a non-zero resistance of wire, and the longer the wire, the more the voltage drop. And depending upon the design of the input circuits, there's a certain critical voltage that if you get below, it's going to give you problems either with control code or push to talk or being able to deal with the audio stream. So the fact that we don't hear any of that probably means that the voltage drop was not significant. Now, that's really the only important thing that the length of a given wire will cause. So it looks like you're good. You got a nice long wire, and it's not degrading your audio quality, as far as I can perceive.
Okay, because right now I got a combined length of 19-foot extension, of course, plus the original length of the cord, and plus that extra connector. So, it seems fine. So I suppose if it did drop too much, just a hypothetical, just so I'll learn something, would the Cat 8 or Cat 7 be better in that regard?
Probably, because the thing that makes it Cat 7 or Cat 8 is not inherently the attenuation loss. It's the ability for it to work at higher frequencies without distorting the signal. So whereas your Category 6 is perfectly fine for, I think, a gigabit per second at this point, if you wanted, say, 10, you would have to go up to 7 or, 25 or 50 or 100, you go up to 8 or 9 or something. So it's more of a function of a signal rate transmission, although part of that is low resistance in the wires themselves. So it would help. But as you noticed, you pay a big price and the cost goes up per foot and it becomes less flexible. It becomes bigger and heavier and more of a pain in the backside. If you have nothing better to do someday, look up in some amateur radio catalog what ICOM wanted to sell you a simple Ethernet extension cord for your IC7100, how much they overcharge for something like that.
Yeah, like the one I bought, because my 16-foot, well, it comes with the radio, it's an 11-foot. So I'm talking about the one now connecting the head to the body of the radio. I guess that's the same principle. I'd pay like about $90. You could pay up to $100 for this. I just did it, because I bought one cheap one and it just didn't work. So I said, screw it, I'll just pay the $90 and I'm so that I got the 16-foot one just so I can pull it into the bedroom.
Okay. I mean, if you kind of bought something in the middle of the road, I'm pretty sure it would have worked. If you're going to buy the least expensive, then, sometimes the connectors are faulty. China sells some really cheap stuff that really works terribly. But, all things being equal, it's kind of a crime what ICOM charges for the cable. You should easily be able to source a similar quality Ethernet cable for maybe about $20, $25, but it's kind of ridiculous to sell it for $90. It's just ICOM making an exorbitant profit.
Right. I bought this one for about $18 on Amazon. I mean, this is back when we were talking about this a couple of years ago. And not only was it, it was also really much heavier gauge and kind of a bit unwieldy to use. And then it didn't even seem to work. So I don't remember the details now, but it just didn't work, and it was unwieldy. So I just, at that point, I just, later on, just said, screw it, I'll just get the one I know worked. Yeah, you're right, maybe it was 20 or 30 or something, and would have been, I just wanted to try things out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, China has real iffy quality control, but it was probably even worse back in the, you know, old days. I remember, I think it was something like 7-8 years ago, people were buying Chinese UHF connectors where the thread dimensions were ever so slightly askew. So they kind of look like they should have worked, but people kept on trying to screw them in, and they weren't going in. And, you know, some bright guy with some highly accurate screw thread gauges discovered what was going wrong.
Right. I'm getting a, I don't know why I'm getting a lot, I think it must be the repeater, or it doesn't seem like it's bad conditions, but I'm getting a lot of static. It comes and goes. Sometimes you're, I can always understand you, but sometimes there's all this, lots of noise and static. I don't know if you're hearing it on your end.
Yeah, I'm hearing it as well. It comes and it goes. Again, I'm not quite sure whether there's something producing noise nearby the repeater, or the wind is shaking the antenna and causing some of it. But yeah, I hear it come and go.
Maybe, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. So we're on the same page there.
Yeah, like I said, I'll be happier when, you know, people are comfortable with going up there and taking a quick look around, making sure everything is tight, you know. It's not a good practice to kind of leave it on autopilot for too long. I understand the reasons why it was necessary. You know, you got guys, you got places like Limark where it seems like there's someone in that shed every weekend, just fixing things or moving things around or checking to see that things are connected right. We just happen to be very, very lucky, which I appreciate. But you know, you can't go on luck for, you know, too long. Eventually, your luck runs out. So hopefully soon, you know, people will kind of get a better feel for where it is and how to get to it, and there'll be somewhat more regular visits to it. So we're now at 9:22, and no one else on the Echo Link. One person on the audio stream. It seems like we're going to have a ridiculously quiet night. I figure I'll just kind of drag this out until, I don't know, 9:30, and if we can't hook someone someplace, we'll just kind of call it an early night.
Yeah. Maybe throw out a line again. If you catch a fish, yeah, maybe try to just, you know, the off chance someone's out there now.
Yep. Well, once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I am the net control operator for the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month. And we're open for business. Usually summer months are not our busiest. So I kind of went into this today thinking that something like this might happen. Nevertheless, if anyone is out there and discovered us, a surprising number of people sort of do that. I was having somewhat similar experience last Sunday night for the Limark technical net that I also control, and came across this nice guy in Manhattan who didn't know who we were and just happened to turn his radio on at 8 o'clock and heard me talking. And he basically asked me a half dozen questions for the next hour and filled a lot of the time in that episode of the Limark Technical Net. So a lot of times we come across newbies or guys who just had no idea that there was a net here, just happened to twirl their VFO on a Wednesday evening and caught us. And it was hopefully a rewarding experience. So you never know who you might find. So we'll try once again. If anyone out there has any questions or topics for discussion or comments to make, please feel free, hit that push to talk and ID yourself.
E2NVB. I have another question about this cable. I could ask you really quickly.
Sure. What's your question?
I'm not hearing you. Did you answer me, or I heard a chunk like at the end of a of like if you'd said something and then turned your mic off, but that's all I heard.
Okay, maybe it's it just needs a little bit more audio. I was succinct, so I'll just yes, ask a question. No problem.
Of course, I can find out very quickly on my own to do this, but this cable I'm using to extend the mic. Well, of course, it doesn't have the right kind of connectors on it, but would it be the same kind that I could use to connect the head of the radio to the body of the radio?
Yeah, I think they're all RJ45 on the ICOM 7100. Anything that's an RJ is an RJ45.
Right. I guess I couldn't just test this one. I'm really asking because what I would need for that is a double male end, not a male and a female. So I guess maybe there's an easy adapter I could buy. I mean, well, that's silly. I just maybe just buy another cable of this type. I mean, right now my overpriced $90 thing is working fine, so maybe I won't even bother. I suppose you could pick up a thing that could turn a double male thing that would just turn a female into a male again. You could make it, that's only an inch long or something. They probably sell those little adapter things for a couple bucks too, right?
Well, I don't know how much they charge them. Usually, because of the nature of RJ45s, they're kind of plastic, and you need something to mount it in. So it's usually a little tiny elongated rectangular box. You know, not terribly big, but maybe 2.5 inches long or something, because you need some structural support for the plastic RJ45 components. But, you know, for about $10, yeah, you can get male-to-male, female-to-female, male-to-female. You can get every permutation.
Yeah, maybe I'll try, you know, if my next cable goes bad, maybe I'll try the same kind here that I got for this, if this turns out to work fine. So I suppose maybe they're connecting the head of the radio to the body is a little more demanding than just the microphone. I don't know, for quality of the cable.
Well, I mean, structurally, it's they're made out of plastic as opposed to a lot of connectors. Older connectors are metal, so it's just a mechanical issue that it's easier to kind of butt both ends of a DIN connector with each other with somewhat more flimsy material than if you're going to put together plastic RJ45 plugs and jackets and such. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be doing this extension thing with this anyway. I'd buy another double male cable with if and when I would need it. And they'd keep this for its current function.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's certainly an option. You know, I mean, if you ever, at this point you don't need it, but, you know, if you ever find a really good sale for crimping tools, you might want to have your own crimping tool where you can decide how long you want the wire and what have you. I crimped most of my Ethernet connections for my house's network system.
Right. I think right now I'm doing this, not doing this enough that I would warrant that. It'd be kind of cool to learn how to crimp, but I got too many things in my apartment already. Yeah, I'd be, but you know, if I start needing this stuff a lot more, yeah, I can enjoy that sort of crafty element. Like when I was a kid, I built a couple kits soldering, and I was actually pretty good at it. People commented on my soldering work, but I enjoy that kind of thing, so I could see enjoying it, but I probably wouldn't do it because, yeah, I don't have enough need for it right now. But I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I completely understand your view of it. I kind of wish that the RF connectors were as easy to crimp connect as RJ45s and the rest of the RJ. I mean, the connector itself is crappy because that little plastic hook is just asking to break off. But it is so easy to crimp those things. I have plugs that have little holes drilled in them, so you can put through the wires into the other side of the connector where they poke out, to just kind of prove for yourself that you've done the color code correctly. And then the crimping thing not only will crimp the connectors for the wire, but will cut off the excess wire that's coming out of the holes. So it's ridiculously easy to do these days. As opposed to RF connectors, where, you know, some of them are partially crimped and partially soldered, and you have to get the wire cut right, and you have to have the crimping tool correct. You know, there's a lot more variables than that.
Yeah, it's getting hard to understand. I'm just barely pulling it out sometimes because this staticky noise is getting bad at times, you know, just almost drowning out your syllables. But, yeah, it's... I guess if I had a crimping tool and learned, got a little bit of skill using it, I could fix the old microphone that I have just by crimping another. Because the microphone is fine, it's just that stupid plastic plug with the broken... Yeah, I could crimp a new thing on that, and the microphone would be perfectly good again.
Well, yeah, but the problem, unfortunately, is when it's the connector that's soldered into the chassis. That's not too simple. That's we talked about that. That they're usually a surface mount soldered, and machines can do that in a fraction of a second. Human beings, it's much more difficult, and if you do it wrong, you could destroy nearby components. So it's, you know, it, like I said, I mean, you're not the only guy. It particularly is a pain in the backside for PlayStation users, because they invariably mess their HDMI connector that way. And it's another surface mount connector that, you know, guys who fix it for a living have the nerve to charge you, you know, $140 just to just desolder and resolder an HDMI connector.
Yeah, I see. See, at that point, I kind of misheard some of what you were saying before with the static. Yeah, what I'm talking about is just, I wasn't talking about trying to fix that female thing inside my radio head. I was just talking about the microphone with the stupid broken clip. I could take that off and replace that. And so the microphone would be perfectly good again, and I could use it just plugged into my current setup, or I have a spare microphone, whatever. I could give it to somebody, I could sell it to somebody. I suppose now I could give it to somebody who has a crimping tool, and they can make it into a perfectly functioning microphone again. That's all I would say. Not to mess around with that female plug in the jack, I guess you call it, in the head of my radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I misunderstood. Yeah, I'm getting the same type of static, unfortunately. It sort of comes and goes. The last few times it's come. Again, the erratic nature of it, I would tend to think that it might be that it's particularly windy at the repeater site, and it's blowing the antenna, but that's just a guess. Let me throw out a request for people one last time, and if we get crickets, then we'll call it a night. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. It's open for business on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month at 9 p.m. So we're open for business tonight. Anyone out there is listening, hears us, and has either a question or a comment or a topic for discussion, this is kind of the best time for you to make it, because if all we hear are crickets, we're going to call it a night. So if anyone out there has any questions, hit that push to talk and ID yourselves. Very well. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month, and our next meeting will be August 7th, which will be held by teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details of logging into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join a general meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin at 7 p.m., the formal portion of our regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month at 9 p.m., and we also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28380 megahertz upper sideband. We offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as our 10-meter net. Just type into your browser stream.com. KC2RC.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the hosts of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services are generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more and talk less. It's time for us to kind of roll this up and shut it all down. I thank my co-host, Bob KD2NVB, for co-hosting and being here tonight. And I wish he has a very enjoyable summer vacation. He will return to us in August. And this is Roy AC2GS going clear and getting the heck out of here. Everyone, enjoy the summer. AC2GS clear.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to test my new extension cables and give me a few little pointers, information about it. And so for me, it was a good net in that regard. And thank you. I will be back in August, and I'll look forward to joining. Maybe we'll move on to another TechNet puzzle by then. 73s, everybody.